Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Afte, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. Those of you who've been listening to this program know that one of the things that is of abiding concern to me in that war is the vulnerability of our electric grid. I consider it really a kill shot for our enemies, and have for quite some time now been trying to use such tools as I have and persuasive powers as I can muster and others with whom I've been able to work to try to raise awareness about this vulnerability and to effect the kind of corrective action that I believe is eminently doable, but as yet not done. No one, I believe, has done more in a shorter period of time to raise awareness and to engage the political leadership of this country on this very serious problem than our guest. I am absolutely delighted to have him. He is Ted Koppel, a man whose renown as a journalist precedes him. He is an award-winning journalist many times over. In fact, the list of awards is too many to mention in the time we have available. But suffice it to say, he's received 37 Emmys for his journalism. But I think he's really deserving of the Medal of Freedom for this particular work, which is a new book entitled Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. Ted Koppel, you do us great honor to join us. Thank you for this real public service and for the chance to talk with you a little bit about it.
Well, Frank, you and I have known each other for a very long time. Usually we were on other sides of the microphone, but I'm pleased to be here with you today.
Well, as am I. Let me talk first and foremost about kind of the threat as you've come to understand it. How did you get into this in the first place, and how serious do you consider the threat to be?
Well, the fact of the matter, Frank, is I am anything but a techno geek. And what drew my attention to it was really a bunch of our political leaders who raised the issue, not the least of them the president, who twice in the State of the Union addresses made reference to the danger to our infrastructure and singling out the power grid and the danger of a cyber attack on the power grid. Leon Panetta, who at the time was Secretary of Defense, when he spoke of the danger of a cyber attack being the equivalent of a cyber Pearl Harbor. Janet Napolitano, who just before she stepped down as Secretary of Homeland Security, gave a speech at the National Press Club in which she warned about it. And my attention, Frank, was drawn by the fact that despite these alarms being raised by very senior officials in the government, really very little was being written about it, and there was almost no political reaction to it. So having been a reporter for a very long time, my nose started to twitch a little, and I thought there may be a story here.
There is indeed a story here, and you could add to that list of things that are peculiar the fact that with that level of interest at the highest of levels of the government, very little was being done about it as well. You, of course, focus expressly on the threat of cyber attack to the grid, Ted Koppel, and yet you do make reference to some of the other ways in which adversaries of this country could seek to do us harm. Let's just tick those off in addition to cyber, and then we'll come back to the use of computer weapons against us. What other concerns do you have in terms of vulnerabilities to the grid to other kinds of attack?
Well, I mean, let's go to the other end of the technology scale. The simplest way of taking out at least part of a power grid is to go after the large power transformers, which tend to sit out in the open, usually behind a chain link fence, but easily accessible and vulnerable to gunfire. And there was a case where I believe it was either 17 or 19 power transformers were taken out in the middle of the night by a group still unknown. It has to be more than one person because there were heavy lids that had to be lifted to enable these people to get access to communications gear to cut the wires of that communications gear. A SEAL team that came in after the fact to examine what had been done came to the conclusion that this was a highly trained team of professionals using AK-47 fire and knocking out these 17 transformers. As it turned out, that particular substation belonging to PG&E out in California was only offline for a little more than a couple of weeks, and during that time there were other substations able to take up the load. But the fear of some of the investigators was that this was merely a dry run, and that if you had more than one of these teams going after more than one of the substations at the same time, they could have caused incalculable damage.
And as you've observed, Ted, in this instance, had they not missed that one communications link that enabled the offsite control center to power down those transformers, we might have lost them, and with them the power for Silicon Valley for perhaps years. It takes that long to replace these things. So you're absolutely right. This is a very, very clear and present danger. You also talk in the book about the threat of electromagnetic pulse.
Just one more point, Frank. When you talk about the the difficulty of replacing these, I think your listeners need to understand these are enormous transformers. They weigh between 400,000 and 600,000 pounds. They are not interchangeable. They're custom made, and very, very few of them are made in the United States. Most are made overseas. If you order one, from the time you order it, that a company orders it, until delivery time, it can take anywhere from 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, they're essentially hand-built, and I think, again, very few of us appreciate how much is riding on those very, very vulnerable assets. Let me just ask you about electromagnetic pulse. I know that you've sort of suggested that this may be a low probability but very serious threat. You describe very well in your book, Lights Out, a scenario that has been validated, I think, by a congressional commission, among others. Talk a little bit about that and why that's also of concern.
Well, an electromagnetic pulse is probably best known to readers of a novel. The book was called One Second After. William Fortune, who wrote that book, I think, drew rather heavily on the findings of this congressional commission, which was formed in 2004 and I think kept up its study and its work until 2008. What we're talking about here is an alien power. I don't mean aliens as in Martian. I mean someone meaning armed with the United States setting off a nuclear device 20 or 30,000 feet above the United States. And the resultant electromagnetic pulse would effectively knock out all electronic devices pretty much across the country. The reason I believe that to be among the less likely dangers that we face is because it would take very little time for the United States to establish who had done this act, and therefore to be able to respond, and to respond rather dramatically. The difference between that and a cyber attack on the United States, and what is the greatest danger of all, is that a cyber attack is likely to be launched, and it could be weeks or months before we have the slightest clue as to who was behind it.
Yeah. Those are very interesting, I think perhaps somewhat debatable points, but the truth of the matter is we may, if we were crippled in the kind of way that you've described in Lights Out, may not be in a position to do that kind of forensic work, let alone take the kind of retributory action that that might be in order. Ted Koppel is our guest. He has graciously agreed to allow us to have another segment with him, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what can be done about this vulnerability arising from an electric grid that never was designed to be resilient and certainly isn't at the moment. That and more with the author of Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath, Ted Koppel. Straight ahead.